So we are going to now tonight to focus on Hanukkah. And then at the end, I'll just show you how this, in essence, connect our series of Ovis. But I brought basically three sources. I hope everybody has it. The first one is Maccabees. The Sefer HaMakkabim, right? And Maccabees, basically, we know that the Gemara in Yuma says the following. L'mnatzeach al ha'yelet ha'shachar mizmor David. That the Tehillim, Psalms 22, it talks about the end of the night. And Chazal say the end of the night relates to Purim. Because Purim, the same way the ha'yelet ha'shachar, the dawn, is the end of the night, so Purim is the end of the miracles. So the Gemara asks the simple question, Hanukkah is later than Purim, right? Purim is 400 BC, give or take, before the second Beit HaMikdash, and Hanukkah is during the second Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara answers, Nitnu likatev. Written miracles, the ones which are part of scriptures, are part of Tanakh, only after they stop until Purim. Purim is the last one. Hanukkah is a miracle that was never written. It's one of the Torah Shebal Peh, is an oral transmission. However, that's what Chazal says. So clearly there's no scripture, there's no Tanakh on it. But there were people who wrote the story of Purim at that time. It's called the Maccabees, Sefer Maccabim. Sefer Maccabim, there is Sefer 1 and 2. The scholars debate when these things were written. Maccabees 2, the scholar, today's scholarly, I would say that scholarly consensus is Maccabees 2 is around 50 years after the story. Maccabees 1 is actually later, is a later recension, the ones that we have in our hands. But be as it may, they are called Apocrypha. They're outside. Maccabees is outside Apocrypha, meaning it's outside of the scripture called Sfarim HaChitzonim. Right, but let's see what they write about it. It's interesting to see the account. And so if you look in Perek Dala, that's Maccabees 1. Vayashkimu, okay, vayase vayasimu ala shulchan et alechem bevisut haparochem v'shkum melechot asher asu. So they describe the war and they describe they conquered the Beit HaMikdash. They prepared the shulchan and the lechem. Vayashkimu baboker chamisha v'sirim bechodesh atshi, and the 25th of Chodesh Kislev, they woke up early, uchodesh kliseim, v'shvan ha-shmoni v'arbaim u'mea, vayelu korban kechok al gabei ha-mizbeach, and they made the korbones, they reinstituted the korbones. The day that they, three years before, on Chafei, is the day that the Seleucids, the Greeks, took over the temple and they desecrated it. They re-consecrated it on the same day. 56, and they made the inauguration of the Mizbeach for 8 days. They did korbanot and etc. It says what they did, and they did for 8 days to celebrate for 8 days, because Chanukat HaMizbeach, usually when the Mizbeach is inaugurated, it's between 7 and 8 days. And continues on the back, Vatisimcha Gdola Meod Baam. And therefore, since this was in the original consecration, and they made a takon, they made some kind of a decree, that you should celebrate the inauguration of the Mizbeach midei shana b'shana, on a yearly basis, yamim shmona, 8 days, to celebrate the 8 days original party of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And you know what is amazing? Where is the miracle of the candles? We know the 8 days because of the candles. They don't say. They say, the people said, we did 8 days. Because 8 days is the consecration of the Mizbeach. We did for 8 days. That's Maccabees 1. Now look at Maccabees 2, the next page. Huh? No, it was yes, but 8 days. If you realize it was 7 days of the Miluim, and the 8th day. But you see the Beit HaMikdash Hashini, Beit HaMikdash Rishon, when there was the first Beit HaMikdash, and that was the Stav Shlomo. Also, they did the party. There was for 7 days. But here they did 8 days because in the Mishkan was 7 days, and the 8th day Rosh Chodesh, and they did this thing. So it was basically 8 days. But then they brought the Korbanot for 12 days. But ובשמחה, הם חגגו 8 ימים באורך של חג הסוכות. Now, Maccabees 2 says a different reason. Do you know why they did 8 days? Because they did it as an allusion to Sukkot, to חג הסוכות. בזוכרם שלפני זמן קצר, because they remembered what was the last holiday before Hanukkah, was Sukkot. הם עשו את חג הסוכות כשהם רואים במערות כדרך חיות, they had to do Sukkot. Hidden, because the Seleucid Greeks were there. So that's a Yom Tov they didn't celebrate Sukkot, and Sukkot's 8 days. So they said, now we have a chance to reenact Sukkot. לכן בהחזיקת מטות וענפים רענים וגם כפות מרים, so they actually took 4 סמינים. They took the 4 מינים. הם העלו מזמורים שהצליחו דרכם לתור מקומו. They thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't do as a mitzvah, but they did as a way to celebrate the Yom Tov that they missed. והם קבעו בצו, בשותף, בהחלטה, כל היהודים לקדם אלה שנה בשנה. And therefore they made it 8 days, and that becomes 8 days for every year. One second. My Chanukah, the Gemara in Shabbos, is Ksot Chanukah, and the Gemara says they found the miracle of the candles. Where is that? Now let's look at one more. Right? This is called independent attestation. They're looking for different people. So this is Josephus, right? Josephus is the one who writes the history of the Jews, right? And he wrote the wars of the Jews and he wrote the antiquities. In the antiquities, in chapter 8, he says, if I look at verse 319, so on the 5 and 20th day of the month of Kislev, which the Macedonians Capileus, they lighted the candles, they wanted the candlestick, and offered incense on his beach, and laid the loaves upon the table, and offered burnt offerings. Okay, now it so fell out that these things were done on the same day which divine worship had fallen off. Interestingly enough, 25th of Kislev, 3 years before, and was used to profane and common use after 3 years' time. 3 years before, the Seleucids stopped the Beis HaMikdash, they avoided that, they stopped the work of the worship on that same day. For it was the temple made desolate by Antiochus for 3 years, starting the 25th of Kislev, 3 years before. Then you skip to 325 at the end, and I have a sign. And from that time, we celebrate this festival. Says Josephus, and we call it lights. Chag HaOrim, right? So you'd say, why is the festival of lights? Hello, because we light the Hanukkah? No. I suppose the reason was because this liberty beyond our hopes appeared to us, and thus thence it was the name given to that festival. Right? Freedom and light is the same. So we called it the festival of lights, because it's the festival of freedom. Where is the candles? Hello? This is Josephus, right? Josephus was somebody interesting because he was part of the Prushim, he was part of the regular community. He left to the Romans, right? We know that he was a traitor, then he comes back, be as it may, but he doesn't have an axe to grind to ignore the ness of Daenerys. Where is Daenerys? So the question is, where is Waldo? Where is Daenerys? Right? Like and for us, this is Hanukkah. If you ask a child, they say, what's Hanukkah? The story of Daenerys. Where is it in contemporary writings? That's number one. Now, let's go to the Harari Kedem. Harari Kedem is Rabbi Yoshe Ber. Rav Soloveitchik writes, and I think it's a very important idea that he writes, and then we're going to learn the Machshov and the Jewish thought and the mystical idea, because all the Mekubalim, in a way, we're dealing with this. And that's so important because this will frame the message of Hanukkah. Okay? But first, let's see what he says. Kosava Rambam peregimim ilchot Hanukkah ala chagimim. Bipnei itkino chamish shivoto ador shiyu shmurat amim eir shechotem ilchayu chavim silev yemei simcha velil. The sages, the chachamim of that generation, instituted 8 days of celebration. Umadlikim bayim et anero be'erev ha'pitchevatim. And we light candles at the doorposts. So the Rabbi Yoshe Ber is bothered by the changing the tenses of the Rambam. V'yish ledak v'lo sharam shekatav umadlikim. He doesn't continue the sentence. If you realize the tenses of the sentence, it says the people in that generation established the days of Hanukkah as days of celebration. And we light candles. Should have been a continuation. Established as days of Simcha and days that you light candles. He doesn't. It says they establish them as a holiday. And we light candles. Kedavar bifnei atzmo. Velo yemei simcha vehalel vehadlakat hanerot. In Hebrew, should have been the established as days of holidays and days that we light candles. The Rambam doesn't do that. למה, כהמשך למה שהתקיעים משמחה והלל. ומש מלשונו שאין זה בכלל עיקר התקנה מחנוכה. It's very clear from the Rambam that the Rambam holds Chanukah is a holiday. Lighting candles is independent from the holiday. והנראה לומר, והנראה דייש להסתפק. He says, it's something that you need to really analyze. אם בזמן המקדש, you realize that Chanukah was the Rambam, the Shitas of Rambam, is that Chanukah is to re-establish this Jewish commonwealth, and the temple was standing for an additional 200 years. So the question is, did they light Chanukah candles in those 200 years? ויש איש הספק, האם הדליקו נרות חנוכה לפרסם הנש? יש לו דובר לומר, לפי שהנרות התקינו מקום המנורה של המקדש, for some reason, our menorah is a surrogate for the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll soon see why. But it's not just that we light candles, it's done in a way that's a surrogate for the menorah. וכדי לפרסם את הנש של המנורה, לפי זמן תקנה היא רק לאחר חורבן, so perhaps, only when you didn't have the menorah, did you light the candles? But while you had the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, there were no Chanukah candles. Okay? לאחר החורבן זכר למנורה שבמקדש. ואמר רבינו זצ"ל, הרב שלוויצ'יק said, שחקר בזה הגאון הבעל אבני נזר. The אבני נזר, the סוחר של הרבי, had the same question. And רבי שאול מקוטנה, right? The Yeshua's Malko has the same שאלה. He says, is this something new? ונראה לומר מדעת הרמב״ם, says the רבי יושב מאיר, שזה באמת סבירה להתקנת נרות חנוכה רק לאחר החורבן. The נרות חנוכה is a post-destruction, a post-diaspora issue. ומשום מה הפריד הרמב״ם, that's why the Rambam splits את תיקון הנרות מתקנת מיש חנוכה. So the holiday was established, like we saw that from Maccabees, established right afterwards. But the idea of the candles was much later. לפי שתקנתי בשמחה והלל התקידו חכמים שבאותו דור, contemporary people made the holiday, ואילו תקנת הנרות, but the נרות נתקנה בדורות מאוחרים יותר. It's much later, it's a very much later issue, לאחר הקורבן כזכר למנורה שבמקדש. And this was made as a זכר, as a remembrance of the menorah of the מקדש. Okay? מחלוקת בית שמאי ובית הלל. The problem is we know that there is a disagreement between בית שמאי ובית הלל. The Gemara says in Shabbos, right? שמאי and הלל was his, in other words, we know that הלל was one of the, he was the nosi, he was the prince, he was basically the head of the community. And the Gemara says that he was active 100 years before the destruction of the temple. So one second, Machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. So Rav Soloveitchik says in one of the places he says, because the truth is, the schools of Hillel continue in Shammai. So truthfully, when Hillel and Shammai themselves, they didn't light Nerot Chanukah. The question is, what does that mean? First of all, today the centerpiece of our avoda is lighting the candles. And at that time they didn't have. For some reason they thought the menorah. But now it makes sense why Maccabees, and not only Maccabees, but Josephus, which lived at that time, didn't even know about the miracle. Why is the miracle of the candles? They didn't even hear about it. What does that mean? And what does that mean that our Chanukiah is instead of the menorah? That for some reason, now this, Rav Soloveitchik, is very, very mechudash. This is something very novel. And I told you, we don't have to say this. Because you'll see, once you understand what the Chanukiah is and what lighting the candle is in the mystical sense, you realize that what Rav Soloveitchik says is very possible. But you don't have to subscribe to his idea because he has no proof besides the tents in the Rambam, right? He just can't build such a historical idea just because the Rambam changes the tenses, right? They're like, you need a little more than this. But once you understand, you could very well understand the historical record. And once you understand the historical record, the meaning will be different. So the questions are very simple. Number one, where's the miracle of the candles? Why nobody knew about it? At least they didn't even know. I told you, lights, Josephus had to find the reason why it's called the Chag HaOrim. And if Rav Soloveitchik is right, why did he establish the Chanukiah, the lighting the candles, only after the Churban? And why is our Chanukiah a surrogate for the menorah? Okay? To learn all of this, now we're going to go back to our source sheet. First, we're going to see what Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains. And that's his Sefer Machshavot Charutz. Nes de Chanukah lo nitna lichtov. We saw that the miracle of Chanukah is not part of scriptures. It was not supposed to be written. We just mentioned, right? We mentioned the Gemara in Yuma. Chavtet. Ki aktav, why? What does it mean, the Chanukah? I told you, these Maccabees, which wrote Maccabees 1 and Maccabees 2. By the way, Maccabee, you spell with a kuf. I hope people understand, right? Makav. They were silversmith. They were they worked with a hammer. They're like a hammersmith. Makav is a hammer. People today spell it with a chaf, and they be kamocha beilim Hashem, etc. Very nice, but Maccabim is with a kuf, right? They were hammersmiths, but that's what they were. They're Maccabim. But Maccabees is apocrypha. Chazal took it out of the canon. It's not Sefer Kodesh. So why? Because Chanukah could not have been written. Why? Ki ktav u ma shegalui leinakol. Ktav is something written is self-evident. If you have a document which is written, it's written. It's self-evident. Kmo Torah shebichtav dichtiv oman chad shafilu mot olam yishlem tfisa kifi machshav atamba. Something which is written is available for everybody. Even a non-Jewish person can take a chumash and translate. Lomar anu Yisrael. They have a relationship to it. You could relate to it. כמו שאמרו בתנחומה, קנייניה כפי מה שמכתב הוא גלוי לכל. Like the Midrash says, the reason why things are not written, because something which is written is publicized, is public knowledge. In good English, if you write something, you have a copyright only for a certain number of years, and therefore, afterwards, it's called what? Public domain. So it's public domain. ומה שבעל פה, however, something which is oral, נקרא שם מסתורין. It's called a secret. וכן נס חנוכה לא ניתנה לכתוב. That's why חנוכה could not have been written. כי לא יגר לו כל שהוא דרך נס, because it was a war. And it was a war, and it was not clear what miracle it was, and what was the message of the miracle. ויציאה מהטבע. ואף על פי שניצחו מועטים את המרובים, even though if you look in Maccabees, it was the odds were very stacked against the Hashmonaim. Because they were very few against many. Very easy, could say that they had a better strategy. They were more unified. The Seleucids were in Syria. I mean, there was a million stories. This is not the first, the only war. There were many wars afterwards. You realize that they tried to get it back. And some small skirmishes, they won. Some skirmishes, the Greeks won. I mean, this was not like just it, we won and they left home. This continued. If you look and follow Maccabees, he's looking at Josephus, right? But he's calling the Jewish version of Josephus, which is debatable if that's the real Josephus. Okay. Therefore, most people didn't even assume that was a miracle. That's why it could not have been written. This is the beginning of the hidden miracles. This is Jewish history from now on. Chazal were saying that there were before miracles, and the miracles were miracles, and the miracles were such that they were self-evident, but most important, they came with a prophet and came with a message. There was a narrative connected to the miracles. The miracle of Hanukkah, as you'll see, wasn't clear it was a miracle. It could be something very fortunate. But there was no narrative. What's the message? And you realize that the people there, I didn't read to you Maccabees, everybody got a different message. What was the message? We just won, just something odd, like Lehavdil, Elef, Alfe, Abdolas, like when Trump won. So what does God want from us that Trump won? There is some message. So everybody says a different message. In Chanukah was the same exact thing. And you look at Maccabees, nobody knew the real narrative. And the Chazal understand that this becomes the prototype and the paradigm of Jewish life. Like the Yavetz writes, Jewish history is the biggest miracles. But Chanukah is just the beginning. And this was just a prototype of how we should relate. There's so many cases of miracles, even the Six-Day War. But because it's not so clear, first of all, it becomes a bit of a miracle or not. I just heard a great story I have to share with you. Rabbi Horowitz told me that the Satmarov was of the view the Six-Day War was not of miracles. Were not miracles. Was not miracles. You tell that it can't be because his philosophy was the state of Israel is not the right thing. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once spoke to him. And I heard this from Rabbi Horowitz, who is the Novominsker's son-in-law, who heard directly from Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov told him, it goes to the Satmarov and says, listen, you can't do that. You're going to tell me that's not a miracle? You're going to, you have to have a lot of guts to say that something, I don't know if it's a miracle or not, but clearly to say that something is not a miracle, you have to have guts. So that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky told Satmarov, listen, and Satmarov tamed down and he stopped like calling it not a miracle. But clearly, this is Jewish history. By the way, Chanukah is the Jewish history. We Jews know how to look for miracles. See, we always look for miracles and make things that may be natural and look for the miracle behind nature. But there are people who took miracles and turned them into nature. Because we know that by God, there's no difference between miracles and no miracles. Chanukah, you're going to see, is something beautiful. Is God showing us that even though the miracle stopped, it's not that the miracle stopped, now life is a miracle. That's what Rav Tzodek says. Esther is the end of the miracles that came with thunders and there were announcements, there were prophets. And you got the message, you got to show this what God wants from you, the prophets. After Purim, it stopped. The Gemara calls, that's why Purim is called the dawn. What's the dawn? The end of the night. So as Esther told out the Kohen on Sukkot, that should be the end of the day, not the end of the night. He says, yes, if you have a situation that you need miracles with thunders, and you need announcements, means that you leave at night, and sometimes you have rays of light. The message of Chanukah is that this is light because everything is a miracle. Just open your eyes and smell the roses and get an appreciation. That's Chanukah. And you see that this Chanukah is so important because it becomes the model of miracles. And I'm going to tell you how Rav Tzodek, he's saying the Machshava part of it. But you'll see that in the historical record, he's so right. But you'll see in a second. So he says, we know, we know that there's no miracles. Everything is a miracle. That's how we understand it. We can see even what's not obvious. If you look at obvious, if you need a miracle to be obvious that you turn or you walk on water, then you're missing the point. Because then you see God once every 50 years, once every 100 years. I had a guy who is not religious. And he tells me, I will be religious if the guy makes me a miracle like the Jews before. They deserve miracles. I deserve a miracle. Make me one miracle. Believe in him. I told him, you know something? God is doing and talking to you. Oh, let God talk to me. That's what he says. Either makes me a miracle, or this guy Alex, or let God talk to me. I told him, listen, first of all, God talks to you all the time. You just need to listen. Right? What you want? You want a phone call? Say, God, I mean, if I will tell you honestly, if God would come to talk to me and have like some kind of a microphone, I would think that he's some kind of a George Lucas special effect. I would not trust him. It's okay. Just because there is some shine of light in this technology means nothing. We just have to listen to it because the tune, that's why it's light. Now it's a much more immediacy with God that we have. And by the way, this is called in every religion, this is the turning point. I thought it's called the axial age. That God actually is closer to us than he was before. And that's Chanukah. But if you just something obvious, there's no obvious miracle. But the non-obvious, there is much more. So that's why the miracles cannot be written anymore. And you know something, if you look at Maccabees, the Jews who believed in the miracle, because they saw, they were struggling to say, what's the message? So Maccabees took the message, and they said that there were a few people who decided to say, you know something, God wants us to be zealots and to be very frum, very religious. And they went to the mountains. This is the beginning of the keilot of the communities of Qumran. If you know the word communities in Qumran, which is debatable if they were the essence or not, and you'll see that, in my view, this is the beginning of Christianity. That's why Chazal locate this at the beginning of Christianity. Because they believed there was in Qumran, this community, they believed the miracles continue. And this was a miracle, and God is giving you the miracles, and life is the same. There is a continuity of scriptures, prophecy continued. Chazal saw at Hanukkah a demarcation point. This is called a periodization. That now the miracles changed. There's no narrative. You have to create a narrative. And the narrative doesn't come from God, it comes from us. The Christians did not, the people in Qumran did not believe. If you look at, interestingly enough, at Maccabees, they say that the people went to the mountains and realized God wants us to serve him and we have to withstand. And they thought that the temple actually was not firm enough. So that's why they went to the mountains. And they had a prophet. The prophet was called the Mure Tzedek. If you follow Pirkei Avot has the different pairs, the Zugot. Right? So when did Chanukah happen? Chanukah happened, the Gemara says, in the time of Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. Right? The Zug of Yossi ben Yochanan, that's Pulmu Shel Yovan. The afterwards is Nitar Beli, right? And Rabbi Shua ben Prachia. The Gemara says that Jesus was a Talmud of Rabbi Shua ben Prachia. On that thing, if different than our Jesus. Because we know the Jesus for, at least, the Jesus that is the Jesus of Nazareth is in the year 40 of the Common Era. How do we know that? Because there is an independent attestation. I told you that Pliny writes in the Annals of Rome that there was Christians who served this guy called Jesus that was killed by Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate was the proctor of Rome, the proctor of, not Rome, he was the Rome's messenger, he was the proctor of Jerusalem, which was Aiola Capitolina, in the year 40. So there is an independent attestation. But what Chazal are saying, that Jesus is not one person, he's part of a movement. And that's why, by the way, if anybody knows the story in the saga of the Dead Sea Scrolls, it's because the Dead Sea Scrolls shows that Jesus is not unique. He's part of a movement. That's why the church was very cagey about releasing the Dead Sea Scrolls. If you look at Dead Sea Scrolls, there was such a thing called the Mure Tzedek. The Mure Tzedek was a prophet, they believed prophecy continued, and Torah Shebichtav continued, and scriptures continued. That was the narrative that they came. These are the people in Qumran. That's why the Mure Tzedek is very similar to Jesus, which appears, that's what Chazal say also, that's what the Gemara means, that Jesus starts there, starts after Hanukkah, because that's the message they got. The miracles continue, God didn't stop the miracles, and therefore their whole faith is based on miracles. That's the beginning, that's the location. So this was a miracle without a narrative. So what is the narrative of Hanukkah? So look at the Maral. The Maral, as you know, is the great thinker of the 17th century. And he explains the following. Yesh loimar. She'ikar ma shekavu yimei Hanukkah. This holiday of Hanukkah. Bishvil she'im yedatzchi betavanim. Hanukkah is a holiday for the miracle. And what is the miracle that we celebrate, people? The miracle that we celebrate is the victorious of the Jews against the Seleucid Greeks. That was something very fortuitous. It was a very small group of people. And they were able to rebel against the Greeks. That is the miracle. Actually, I nireh she'akan nitzachon hazeh al yedei Hashem le'aser Hashem yitzborach. People didn't know if this was a miracle or not. There was no narrative. They just won. Is this a miracle or not? Is God sending us a message? And what is the message? The ness of the candles was they saw the candles and they say the candles is God's message to tell us what is the miracle of the war and what the message is. This is the narrative of the miracle. That is what the candles miracle was. The candles miracle, that's why they didn't talk about it. It was a very irrelevant miracle. Chazal saw that this is very important because this is the narrative that explains the war. God was telling us of the candles. This is what happened in the war. This miracle is that you have only light, you have only oil for one night, and this will last for eight nights. This miracle, that was, appears to be very irrelevant. Who cares? Yes, yes, no, no. It's not such a big thing. But this is the message of the war. So Hashem said, the same way that this candle, what it means, that you have very little oil. And God makes little oil to work like a lot of oil. God expands human action. This is the war. The war, you were very few, but you were able to win a lot of people. So God said, the candles is what happened to you guys. You have oil for one day that's able to last for 90 days. You have enough of an army to fight against 500 soldiers. God made you to win over 5 million soldiers, whatever the number of soldiers were. God made the miracle through the menorah and through the Beit HaMikdash to show you that this is the message. This miracle was because of the Beit HaMikdash. What the Greeks wanted to do, you realize that the Greeks never wanted to subjugate the people. You realize the Romans, when they conquered people, they wanted, what did they want, the Romans? They wanted money. They wanted people to pay taxes, okay? Tax reform, they had a different kind of tax reform. You conquer people, make them pay taxes, right? And that's the idea, they exploited people. What did the Greeks do? The Greeks didn't do that. The Greeks only wanted to do, as you know, Alexander the Great starts, they wanted to spread Greek culture. It's the beginning of Hellenism. They wanted to have cultural hegemony. That's why the most important person, as I mentioned to you, in the year 2000, they had a survey among scholars. Who was the most significant and important person in the last 2,000 years? And they made a survey. You know who won hands down? Alexander the Great. Because Alexander the Great was the one who conquered the whole world, and he never wanted money, he didn't want anything. You know what he wanted to? To spread Greek philosophy, to Greek Hellenism. He's the one who changed the whole world with Hellenism. And Chazal saw that this is antithetical in many aspects to our understanding. And we had to have a cultural kampf that was a war against their philosophy, against their approach. And they thought that when they come to vilify, they come to pollute the Beit HaMikdash. They realize that they are coming to destroy the Eichal. V'gam kin gazru shmad levatel haTorah u'mitzvoteha. If you look at it, Yavan is begimatria 76. The Eichal is begimatria 75. No? Yeah, 65, I'm sorry. So why is that? Why is that? So he says, what is the idea that Yavan, I'm sorry, but why is Yavan is 65? Deichel, I'm sorry, this 66, because they were one above Deichel. They were trying to be one above. What, in other words, they tried to overcome. See the Maal say, that's why the Kohanim were the ones who were able to be victorious against them. That's why Hashem made Davka the Kohanim. Therefore, the miracle of the miracle of the candles, the miracle of the Beit HaMikdash, is saying that this is not just a victory against the Greeks, it's the message, is the victory of the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim, the connection to God over what they did. That's why it's called Chanukah. The ultimate is the consecration of the temple. That's why the Nes, this is the narrative of the miracle. The whole victory was based upon the fact that we came to be victorious. That's why the miracle happens with the candles. Because the koch of the Yavanim is the Greeks, what they wanted to do is to overcome the temple. What's the siman? Eichal, that's what I mentioned, 65, 100%. Ve'ichal, ole misporos 65, Eichal is begimatra 65, Yavan 66. To tell you that that's what Yavan is. They wanted to say, okay, we are the new era. The temple is the past. We are the future. We are one above. Kishlo malchut Yavan koach guver alechal. You realize that what's the Eichal? The Beit HaMikdash is connecting the world to something higher, to something which is irrational. And all the Greek Hellenism is based on rationality. They wanted to give a narrative which is rational, which is visual. They were very focused on visual, on philosophy. And the Echal is something that we believe that things connect to something much higher. Meaning you can't explain in our own terms, we have to take higher terms. And that's what they didn't want. And therefore the Beit HaMikdash, the miracle happens specifically by the Beit HaMikdash. Because this is Hashem saying the Beit HaMikdash is going to overcome the Yevanim, despite their numerical value. That's why the miracle happened with the candles. Okay. And then he repeats it. He says, if you look at the Beit HaMikdash alone, the Greeks are higher. Therefore, they were able to actually, they were able to desecrate everything. The Beit HaMikdash was taken by them. But the oil represents Kedusha. Because the concept of oil is something which is hidden in the olive, they were able to be metame. They were able to basically desecrate. Now, ubazeh shaltu v'timu kol hashmanim. So this is, so Chazal saying that the miracle of the candles tells you that the narrative, this is not that they stopped us from doing, they took us our independence, it's a culture conf. The miracle of the candles is the narrative that they were able to destroy, but God would never allow that to happen. And one little bit of oil was there, which is a representation to the little bit, the small number of the Chashmonaim, and they have the power to overcome the many. So the candles is the narrative on the war. And this is life. From now on, we have to give a narrative. So we asked why people didn't know at that time. Because the miracle of the candles was very insignificant in comparison to the war. So it was forgotten. Chazal came over and they said, no. The miracle of the candles are teaching you the message of the other miracle. And you're going to see that there is so much more even to it. So number one, it looks the same. I told you, the few to the many. Little oil for 8 days. But let's see what it continues. Now this is the pre-tzadik to Chanukah, and that's our tzadik. Bavud Arham katav, shalken nikru hanirot kodesh, the neros are called holy, the candles of Chanukah. Nishim zech l'nerot ha-mikdash, because they are a representation to the menorah of the Beit HaMikdash. B'met gam Aran zal katav, shebitam ze asur ishtamesh lora. The Aran explains, why can't you use the light of the Chanukiah? We know that that's why we have the Shamash. Why? Shasawu kimnora, because it has the same halachos of the menorah. That's why Rav Soloveitchik says, when the menorah was there, you didn't need the Chanukiah. Why? Achsham sheach shegazur chamishol eshtamesh lor zechad lor b'dash l'benes, valiot ikra derot kodesh alich biyor, ma'inyano? Okay, a second. You can't use it. That makes sense. Because of zech. But why to call it kodesh? What kedusha do you have? Mishum zech l'mikdash, lo yimar apimash shekosav haramban. He explains. על מה שאומר במדרש רבה שאמרו לא לארון לגדולה מזו לא לארון לגדולה מזו אתה מתקן הנרות לעולם. I know that in the consecration of the Mishkan, Aaron was the last one. He didn't have what to bring. So he, Hashem told him, you bring the menorah. And the Ramban says the menorah is bigger because the menorah outlasts the Beis HaMikdash. Where does it outlast the Beis HaMikdash? It outlasts through the Chanukiah. V'yav she'edush b'chamidash gam nerot b'teilim. Even though the menorah stopped at the time when the temple was destroyed, like everything else. Katav Ramban. Ramban explains, she'remez l'nerot Chanukah. Neros Chanukah outlasted. She'noeg af l'achar ha'churban. They continued even after the destruction of the temple. V'derav tzichim biur, mana chamu be'edlakat nerot Chanukah she'yav l'achar ha'churban. And the question is, why is this to Aaron some kind of a consolation that even though Aaron could not participate in the consecration of the Mishkan, but since he did the menorah, it's bigger because you continue even after the destruction. But should they call it seven? I say cloudy Aaron Nadav. But that's not Aaron who lights the Chanukiah. Everybody lights the Chanukiah. Omni like a Noraita. But you have to understand what the menorah is. Why is the miracle specifically in the Beit HaMikdash of the menorah? And why is the Chanukiah a surrogate to the menorah? Lo sheni tzarich lachem, because God says, the Midrash writes, why does God need the menorah? And he says, I don't need your light. Ela shetairu li, I need you to add light yourself. That's what the Midrash writes. Shamar l'Avraham Avinu, ad shata meili mespoto, mimechavrotei abo ve'er, b'nai b'eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, the same way you are enlightening the world with your ideas, go and light the menorah for me in Eretz Yisrael. Light means that you're bringing light to the world. Light is not only the physical light, it's a metaphor to the spiritual light. And Avraham Avinu started the spiritual light by spreading Yiddishkeit. The world was dark and Avraham Avinu brought light. When people don't realize that there is God, that's the darkness. Okay, v'chen ha'or b'loshon ha'katuv, that's why Hashem, only God is my light. Ha'er panecha v'alech ezrach Hashem, k'yeshev ha'choshech Hashem li. V'chen ha'torah, it's called or. It's also called light, k'mo she'nemar v'toira or. Ha'am olchim b'chosh ha'ru gadol, k'edit b'torah she'bal peh. We know that Torah she'bal peh is also or. V'chen ha'mur l'edim b'torah b'sri toira. And what he's going to explain is the following, that we'll see inside. The menorah is the light that doesn't come from God. We are the ones who take the initiative and bring the light. Aaron had to be the one. What the message of the menorah is, that for us to withstand the Yevonim. See, the Yevonim, the Greek Hellenism, could not work when there were miracles which by nature were irrational. But in a world that now we come, that there is no open miracles, that you have to find the miracle in everything that exists, like the war, the few winning against the many. It's very easy to use a rational explanation and to belittle everything. That's why the Yevonim, the Greeks, are bigger than the Beit HaMikdash. Because the Beit HaMikdash is the idea to connect to something higher. They are the ones who create, you know, a superficial explanation that you don't need to connect to anything higher. That is represented by the translation of the Torah into Greek. They took the Torah and they said, let me translate it like a book. Like Homer, I'm going to translate it to Greek. Chazal saw that this is why they are stronger than us. In a world which is irrational, that you see irrational miracles, Hellenism can't affect. But if the world has changed, that now the miracles are everywhere, but you have to give a narrative, you have to see, the Hellenism has a very strong narrative, the rational narrative, the translation of the Torah to Greek. And therefore, the menorah was the miracle. The menorah sees that that explanation has to come from us. Therefore, the light doesn't come from God. Now it comes from us. We bring the light. That's what the nes, the miracle, specifically by the menorah. The menorah is the lesson of how we bring interpretation to the miracles of life. And that's what we did to the Neres Chanukah. So the story of the miracle comes through the candles. Because the menorah, that's why Rabbi Yoshe Ber says, the Chanukiah is the menorah. Because the menorah is we bringing light to the Beit HaMikdash. This is what we do today. We bring light to the outside. We have to have a narrative. We have to search. We have to bring light to it. And therefore, specifically, it comes to the menorah, which is human interaction to bring light to the world, the real light. And that is how we become victorious. Because we have a narrative, but we have to bring the narrative. Let's take a look. So he continues. V'yeshod mitzad Adam. There is light from humans. Kumo ma'ora esh she'mi'ir b'chashecha. Like candles that you light in the darkness. V'mo she'amru de'amar lo lehurdus. That's why Herod, when he killed, Herod was the Roman, the Jewish king that was basically a client of the Romans. And he killed all the sages. Shem ora toira, ve'omar lo, hu kaba oro shel olam. He, by killing the sages, the chachamim, he put out the light of the world. Because humans are the ones to bring light. If you kill chachamim, you're killing the light. V'toira or yilech v'yasok b'or shaloi lam. Therefore, you have to go with Torah, which is light. V'ayinu or beit hamikdash. So therefore, they have two lights. Either the lights of service of the beit hamikdash, or the light, which is the menorah, or the lights of human learning, that we search for something bigger. Shu'a avoida. Okay? I just want to skip. You could redress. Now, go to the pre-tzadik in Chanukah. V'ita beit chaim. This is, I think, such an amazing, now, because the question is the following. So now we understand. The candles are the narrative of the big miracle. Had to come through the candles, because the mitzvah of the menorah is the only thing that comes from humans, because God is telling us that the message we have to always get from it. It comes from a miracle that a little oil, but you have to have a little oil. You have to take the initiative. If you didn't take the initiative, it would never work. But you took the initiative and went way beyond what natural laws would allow. That's the narrative. And it comes dafka through the menorah because it's human initiative. The interpretation comes from us. Now you're going to see that how do we give such an interpretation? Says the Arizal the following. Visa Be'etzchaim, the Arizal says in Etzchaim, Shlosha Ichudim Yish Be'Chanukah. When you light the candles of Chanukah, you have to think about three names of God and put them all together. Shaolim Ner. Ner is Begimatria 250. And Ichud Havayek, if you do Shem Havayut Ki Vavkei, with the Shem Eke, Eke Ehi Asheriye, the Pasuk, if you take the Shem Havayut, the Shem Eke, you take Havaye with Elohim, and Havaye with Adnus, all Begimatria 250. So you have to remember, it's Shem Havaye three times, plus Eke, Elohim, and Adnus. And that's the kavona that you have when you light the candles. And you say, what does that mean? Rabbi said, you're going to see that this is how we bring narrative to the world. You know, the candle, we light candles, and people try to light candles with oil. If you look at the oil, it's some kind of a candle. It's made of three components. There is the fuel, the oil. There is the wick, and there is the flame. The three ichudim is the fuel, the wick, and the fire. What is the idea of the fuel? It's potential, right? Oil is the potential. It's the potential that you bring. Potential is the name Eke. God says, I will be. Is the plan to be. That's why the name in the future that God talks in the first name is Eke, I will be. Then that's the potential. Then there is the week. What's the week? That's the process. That's how things happen. That's the Shem Elohim. Elohim is Begimatria Hateva, nature. How it unfolds, how the plan unfolds. And what's the goal? The goal is to take the potential and through our process transform into pure energy. Into pure light. That's V'haya Hashem L'melech al kol haaretz, when the Shem Atnus is going to be together, the Shem Havaya. The Ner is realizing that there is a process that we are putting all together, that this is not an isolated story, that people, you know, it's something in good English called ad hoc hypothesis. People, ad hoc hypothesis is that you can never discredit anything because it could give a teretz. Everything is a teretz. This, okay, it's coincidence. That is coincidence. If you take things apart, everything is a coincidence. But when you start putting as part of a plan, you realize that this is divine intervention. Greek philosophy only works if you take history as pieces here and pieces there. You look at the New York Times today, New York Times tomorrow. You have different excuses. Trump was elected because Hillary did bad. And Jerusalem was selected to be the capital because it's politically expedient. You look at things individually, nothing's together. The near is the only narrative that we can give, put it together. Really, that this is part of a big plan. When you put things together, you put the oil, the wick, and the fire, and you put, which is the Shem Eke, Elohim, and Adnus, and you put it together with the frame of Havaye, because Havaye is Haya, Hove, Veye. He's there. He's the one who's leading the process. You connect the dots, and it makes sense. The miracle came through the candles, because the candles is what allows us to give the narrative against the Greeks, because then everything is part of a process. That's why we sing Maos Tzur. Maos Tzur is very funny. We sing Maos Tzur and we talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim, Ra'ot Sava Nafshi. Then we talk about the diaspora in Babylonia, right? Ketz Bavil Zerubbabel. We talk about Purim, talk about Hanukkah, talk about Mashiach. You ever see a Yontem in Pesach? I always say it's not fair. On Hanukkah we talk about Pesach, but Pesach we don't talk about Hanukkah. Why do we do that? Because that's Hanukkah. Hanukkah is putting Jewish history in context. You realize that Hanukkah is not a miracle, it's part of a ongoing process. When you put this as part of the process, life has a message. We have to connect the dots. That's why we sing Maos Tzur, to realize that this is the beginning of a process. Jewish history is an amazing sign of God's intervention in the world. If you put the things together, the wick, the fire, and the oil, life makes sense and has meaning. This is what it's all about. It says in the Megala Mukis, Yosef is Begimatria Antiochus, and Yosef is Begimatria Melech Yovan, the king of Yovan. What does that mean, that he's the king? Because you know what Yosef was? He interpreted dreams. Dream interpretations. You realize that the dream you could interpret in many ways. But Paro Melech Mitzrayim, people gave him interpretations, and they were just not satisfying. They were not good English, elegant. And Yosef gave an interpretation, Ki Elokim Pitronim. I will give you the right interpretation. And felt right. You know what is the antidote against Greek superficial explanations, ad hoc hypothesis? Is the right interpretation that sits right. That's Yosef. That's a Yosef is antidote. Give an interpretation that makes sense. I always tell you something. One of the beginning of modern science, today, which is called modern science, who is the one who starts modern science according to the scholars? It's somebody called Copernicus. Because until Copernicus, the world was supposed to be geocentric, right? The world, everything revolved around the earth. He wrote a book called Revolutions, right? And Revolution said that the world surrounds the sun. The world is heliocentric. Beginning of modern science. Now, this was something truly cataclysmic. How did he come out of this? Because if you studied the world of geocentrism, they had caches all the time. And they had answers. Ptolemy and Almagest was used to give, and they would create a hypothesis, they created the epicycle, they created all kinds of little answers to answer the problems. You had a hole here, you close the hole. Open a hole somewhere else, you close that hole. And all of life, that's Almagest. And Copernicus writes, and he says, you know something, that's not elegant. If I switch the narrative, all the caches are answered. I told you one message is such a, Rav Yitzchok Isaac Halevi, I wrote my dissertation on him. When they came to Hanukkah, they showed him a book, and the book called Ner Lishmonim is 80 terutzim on the Beis Yosef's kasha. The Beis Yosef has a kasha. Why is Hanukkah 8 days? There was enough oil for one day. So it should have been 7 days. And the 80 terutzim. They showed Rav Yitzchok Isaac Halevi. Rav Yitzchok Isaac Halevi says, it's no kunz to write 80 terutzim to a kasha. You know what the kunz is? To have a terutz that answers 80 kashas. That is the kunz. This is life. If you have a narrative, that the narrative is ad hoc, one time is this, it's Clinton and this, and you blame this, and you blame that, you keep blaming things, you miss the big picture. When you look back at life, you realize that the magical, the God is talking to us all the time. The candles is the narrative of the new world. We believe that written miracles, which is obvious, self-evident, they stop by Purim. This is the miracle which is open to interpretation. This is life. But it's bigger because these miracles happen all the time. We just need an interpretation. God showed us that the miracle and the interpretation, they come separate. Like you buy a appliance and the manual comes separate. So you have to buy the manual separately. The manual was the nearest. Why the candles? Because the candles told you the miracle is that there is a narrative, it's a cultural kampf. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that even though they have a stronger narrative than the Beis HaMikdash. They are 66, the Beis HaMikdash is 65. But I'm going to tell you that in the end, there is an edge that you won't answer. And if you do this human intervention, you realize that if you take that initiative, in the end, you'll see much more. You do one step, and God gives you 20 steps. That was the miracle. And Dafka the candle, says Dari, why know the candles? Because the candles is putting things together. It's realizing that everything is going in something called teleology. It's going, this is, it's taking us in different ways in one direction. And you see how everything fits together. That miracle, that narrative, how the narrative of the candles are stronger than the Greeks. Because if you put things together, you see that's a much more elegant kind of an idea, and that allows us to really see God within ourselves. Now, I think that this is the future. We need to have the right interpretation. Our lives, we could be living in two kinds of lives. We could have a life that God doesn't talk to us, and we have been forsaken, and we don't see miracles, and every single thing that happens, we always pull it away with an ad hoc hypothesis. This is coincidence because of that, serendipity because of this, and you could have a life that you're missing the point. But it's not elegant. That's a life that you're constantly trying to give excuses. But if you look life in the holistic way, Jewish history, this is how you give interpretation. You see the miracles which are not obvious. The miracles which are dreams that you are interpreting as you go along. And this is how we are victorious against Antiochus Melchiovan. That's why it's called Yosef, adding. We add a perspective. So may Hashem allow us that to use Hanukkah, that when you bring light, to take these candles as the message of how we interpret miracles. Look at the candles. When you light the candles and the lights, say, this is what we should be doing with our lives in every moment. Anisecha shebechol yomim anu. Ve'anifleotecha v'tovotecha shebechol et. And that's why the Sidur HaGroh, bring the Shemer Molten, that when you say the Modim, and you say Anisecha shebechol yomim anu, you should always think about something, the serendipity that happened to you that day, and how that fits into the big narrative. Make it personal. Make a point, and I always do it myself, to carry a little notebook and to write these coincidences. And sometimes a coincidence might not make sense, so leave it open. And you see that you get the answer a few days later. Then you realize, wow, this is part of a great narrative. Bring the candles to your life to make sure that we see the miracles and we don't bypass. That is mindfulness at its best. That we open our eyes, we bring light to a world which is dark outside. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us that indeed this Hanukkah should be the beginning of a true Hanukkah, true inauguration of our lives. Have a Freilich Hanukkah and Shavuot Tov.